On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys. It's happening. Oh, my God, guys. Oh, my God. I wish you all were here.
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No.
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
I'm not sure what the f*** this is. I'm about to find out.
This is Tall Can Audio.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome into TCA episode 764. Matt Robinson here with you in our Bytown studios. Welcoming in again. Guy going back to back this week. Chris Hoffley's here again. What's happening, Matt?
Good day. Not too much. Happy to be here so soon. It feels like we're talking weekly right now, and I'm very pleased with that.
All right, well, we'll see how you do here, if we're going to keep that stringing along or not. But the real reason we're here, the Ottawa Red Blacks star wide receiver, an all-star, an all-Canadian, a Grey Cup champion, Brad Sinopoli is here. What's happening, man?
What's going on? Good to be here.
Really appreciate you making a little bit of time for us. We talked a little bit before we got on air. It sounds like you're keeping comfortable here in the COVID times, lounging in the basement. The first thing, though, that I got to ask you about before anything else, since the last time we saw you on the field, there's been an addition to the family. How's that treating you?
Oh, it's just fantastic. It's everything that I thought it would be and nothing like how I thought it would be, if that makes sense. It's been, thinking back about it now, God, it's been 8 months since he was born. And the first 3 to 4 months now feels like it was just an absolute blur, which is crazy because it feels like it's been so long. But now he's becoming a little bit more of a real human.
Right.
he's crawling all over the place, and he's almost walking. He's very much in tune with what you're doing now. So you have to be very aware also of little things and. It's getting really, really fun now. And, it's been great. It's, without football, it's been great because of, spending this time every single day with him is awesome. And my wife and, it's all good so far.
Are you getting any sleep yet?
Oh, we got tons of sleep. You know what? We were lucky. The first 3 to 4 months was pretty rough. he was a terrible sleeper. In the first couple months of his life. And so we sought some help. And ever since that happened, he's just been amazing. Naps through the night, never wakes up. It's it was a real game changer. So
You're not gonna make any new parent friends with that. these parents that have been out for months straight.
We're following other people's advice. We were introduced from other parents that went through the same thing, and they were like, we hired someone, and ever since then it's been great, and he's a lot happier, right? You don't want a cranky baby. So
no. Matt, before you go further here, Matt, I know Brad is the star guest and everything, but I was waiting to do the can crack for you, and I'd really like to have a sip of my beer.
Well, don't let me get in the way, man. I will step aside and allow you to have the stage here. And what do you got today? Crispy.
I've got a Flying Monkey's juicy ass today because I figured I just wanted to say that on your show.
All right.
And where is that from, Hoffley?
It's from Flying Monkey's, which I believe is Toronto.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Toronto area, and it's an IPA, and it's a go-to. It's like classic IPA in my life these days.
Nice. I got the the Brown Cow Milk Stout from the Calabogie Brewing Company, just out west of the city here. Mm. It's a favorite too. It's thick and it's chocolatey. It's perfect for this time of year.
See, I'm not a beer guy who likes when people describe beer as thick.
No, that's the good stuff.
Chocolatey.
Man.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
See, I'm taking one for the team today because, like, you guys know I don't really like beer, but I don't drink much of it. But I know Brad. You know, he's got to keep in like eventual game shape, and you know. Counteract the dad bod that you know he might be working on right now. So I'm having the beer for Brad today, so he can.
Well, Brad did mention before we fired this up, not always much of a beer guy, but does enjoy a glass of wine now and then. You're not the first guest to say that. What's a go to for you? You got a wine recommendation for the people out there?
Oh man, I knew you were going to ask this as soon as I said that, and I blanked out because every time I go and get the bottle, it's my wife who says, "Okay, go and get this," and I'm always in the store. Looking at a picture of the bottle, just going around each country. Is it here? Is it here?
Right.
What is it? I think it's a mix. It's not a rosé.
Okay.
Give me
I believe wine people call that a blend, Brad.
It definitely is a blend of something.
Like not a Merlot. Is it a Cabernet Sauvignon, perhaps?
It's not a Cabernet Sauvignon.
Uh-huh. We've officially exhausted my wine knowledge with those three terms.
Is it a red? Is it a red or a white? A red?
It's a blend.
Light red. Yeah, it's a blend.
A Pinot Noir?
It's not a Pinot Noir. It's the last one that we're forgetting. And I'm sure people, if they're listening,
somebody's screaming at their radio right now.
Exactly.
Matt, when you post this episode, can you please ask the people to tell Brad what wine he likes?
Please tell them what wine I'm drinking. Yeah.
You would be disappointing Henry Burris right now.
I know,
Brad. Like you know Hank well enough. You know he likes his wines. This is very bad.
Well, he knows me well enough too that he also probably knows that I know nothing about anything alcoholic. So,
I gotta ask you what this summer and this fall was like for you. There's a certain circadian rhythm that goes along with your day, right? You get up and your body tells you when you should be sleeping and awake and doing something. You've been playing football for a very long time now. Did your body at some point start to twitch and tell you, like, I should be doing something right now that we're not doing? What was the season that wasn't like for you?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I would say that it's more in the mind, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think because... You know, the one thing that I think all football players enjoy is rest.
Sure.
So I think it's the competitiveness that you miss and that you get used to, because every single day you go into work, there's some type of competition that is leading up to the main competition. And that's really what it's all about. So like, I fished a lot this summer. And
nice.
This is going to sound really weird, but like, you know, I did a lot of musky fishing, and musky are really hard to catch. There's so many different factors, and it's like I lost more fish than I caught. So in my head, that was kind of like the filler of like every time I went out to fish, I knew that it was such a challenge.
Sure.
I was in a tournament too, like a month ago or a month and a half ago. And, you know, it's just like a for fun thing. And but in my mind, I went out every day for the week, and my wife, I think, also kind of felt that I was missing the competitive edge. And so she allowed me, like, anytime you want to go from morning to night, you know, just go as your heart desires. So that was, I think, my way of kind of filling the gaps of the competitiveness. But other than that, like,
how much did having a new baby help take, you know, away that like idle time too? I would imagine, like, you don't, you know, if you didn't have that new addition to your life, you might have had a little bit more, what am I doing? What's going on kind of time.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that was the first, like I said, the first 4 months, you know, it was just all baby all the time. And, you know, I think as he began to sleep a little bit more, we both had time to kind of do some things, you know, here and there. And so once that kind of happened, you know, especially around like towards the end of summer, really, it was like, whoa, we have time on our hands. Like, this is unusual. So that's when I think I started fishing a little bit more. But yeah, I don't know. You know, it's weird because once the season was over, you kind of accept that like that old routine that I'm so used to isn't going to happen. So
right.
you just naturally kind of settle into a different routine. And yeah, that's where we're at right now.
Did you feel like at any point during the summer, I know there was some negotiations and there was talk of bubbled games and what might happen. Were you ever confident that there was going to be a season, or how long did it kind of take you to get to a point where like, all right, this is clearly not happening this year?
Well, officially, until you get the word, we never knew, right? It was,
you still pretty much knew.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was going to say. I don't want to sound, like I wasn't confident that something could happen, but I think in my mind, I was just looking at everything and seeing where it was kind of going and then seeing the challenges I think that we were facing. And I think just the lack of, nothing was really moving forward. It felt like
right.
there wasn't dominoes being knocked over that was going to lead up like, okay, just one more thing. It just felt like, even though they kind of said that, it's like, oh, if we get funding, that's the big thing that we need. And, but I always felt like there was so much more to it that had to be, had to be corrected or just had to be approved before we can do that. So I just never felt like that stuff was there. Again, it's like you still want the hope though,
sure.
right?
Funding was the big thing, but there was a half a dozen other, at least little hurdles that were going to be hard to clear on their own. And you expect that all those things were going to come together at the same time was in the time that you had was, and like in hindsight, it was the right decision, right? Like, the direction everything's gone in, it's hard to argue.
For sure.
With the outcome.
Well, the second wave,
as lousy as it was.
The second wave's been right in line with what would have been the stretch and the playoffs and Grey Cup week, yep. right? Like, it would have been a mess.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you guys know we're a different league than any other league, like the NFL, the NBA, or NHL. I think that they can kind of, they realize they can take the hit and the losses this year,
yeah.
but to them it's worth continuing to play. And I just think that we from our side felt like if we were to stop, the season at any point, or if what would we do if we had to reschedule games? Could we do that? Like, there was just other factors that I just think that weren't doable in our league that, it's understandable, but sure. yeah, in the end, I think you're right. It was the right decision.
That's what made me so frustrated with the whole thing is people were constantly saying, well, why can't the CFL play if the NFL's planning to play? And it's like, well, the NFL has a literally unlimited amount of money.
Yeah.
The NFL makes money before they sell a single ticket.
The NHL can basically build a, small city for all of their teams.
Yep.
It's different. Like the CFL is an amazing league. It's not obviously the richest league in pro sports. And right. so there was a time where you're kind of like, you got like the player safety aspect, the staff safety aspect. It was just a little bit too much. And I think people got on board with that at a certain point where they're like, especially when the second wave really kicked off, they're like, yeah, probably a good call.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing, half our league comes from the States too, right?
Yeah.
So there was logistically there, we have challenges that those other leagues don't really have. And,
With border crossings and quarantines
and a lot of guys from hotspots too, like a lot of guys from Texas and Florida and, a lot of those unfortunately harder hit areas of the States.
Yeah. And then what happens, if you run out of guys and you have to bring someone up or.
Yep.
I have to dress me.
Oh no!
I guess we saw that
with the Broncos.
Yeah, with the Broncos.
Oh god,
right?
What a mess!
I felt bad for Deontay Spencer because I guess he obviously tested positive for COVID too, but he was tweeting that I could have been a starting quarterback in the
yeah,
NFL.
I saw that.
He would say that.
Sure.
Can you imagine?
Well, just. Get him out of the pocket; he'd be okay.
The dancing would be worth it alone.
What was it like in terms of, did you do much to stay in touch with your team even once this was canceled? There was a fair bit of turnover here in Ottawa going into what would have been the 2020 season, not the least of which being a new quarterback. Did you get much of a chance to, stay in contact, still have some kind of team communication throughout this, or has everybody kind of been on a bit of an island?
Yeah, I mean, there was a little bit, especially in the beginning, we tried to, before it was officially canceled, we kind of knew it was heading that direction a little bit. We were doing a couple Zoom calls here and there, and guys were talking a little bit more in groups. But I think once as it became official, guys kind of just, not on an island necessarily, but just right. kind of, went on with their life for this year. A lot of guys got jobs, and, you know, a lot of guys do have families, especially sure. Americans, where they're away from their families, you know, and they come up to Canada. And so I feel like this time for them was just like, yeah, go do what you do in life and be with your family. And, we'll all be back soon enough. And, at least that's kind of what I'm like too. I love football, but I'm also, there's other things I do enjoy outside of football. So it kind of gave you a little bit of time, just a little bit of space to kind of enjoy that stuff in life. And, we'll all be back real soon though.
and now's the off season. Now would be the off season anyway, in a normal year. Yep. So everyone's kind of getting back to, I was worried for a bit. I almost sent a search party out into the sticks of Ottawa to find Brad at one point where I couldn't get a hold of him for a little bit. I was like, and you know, Brad's favorite thing in the world is doing, media hits in all their forms. So I was trying to,
I have a big smile on my face.
Brad will tell you that he is the least interesting person and nobody should ever want to talk to him. I obviously disagree, but that is an ongoing hilarious topic of debate amongst us. Right.
That's
my personal feeling about myself.
Well, now I really appreciate you making some time for us. So,
I said yes before I knew Hoffley was going to be on.
That's a fair point.
You get that a lot.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. I told Brad that today. I was like, by the way.
What is it like then, you mentioned it, it's something you enjoy, but it's not the only thing in life. Do you feel like there's a chance, having had a season off and heading into next year, that, not that you maybe had a lost interest, but maybe you'll be a little extra jacked up when next season starts, or kind of rejuvenated your love for the game, anything like that? Absence makes the heart grow fonder, right?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because I think earlier in my life, everything was pretty much about football.
Mm-hmm.
And I was unable to basically separate, like, hey, when you walk away from the stadium, like, you need to learn how to leave that stuff there. And whether it just be frustration of whatever happened in a practice or a game, whether we lost or what, just certain plays that, like, or just the intensity of, like, you go home and you just like throw the ball around, or you're watching football, like it was 24/7.
Right.
And I think as I got older, I kind of learned that you needed to compartmentalize a little bit, because, burnout is a real thing. And the CFL seasons are very long, and emotionally, you go up and down, and physically it takes a toll. And I just kind of, I think, learn to just leave it there. And
right.
like when you come home, you got to watch film and do stuff at home, but like you set your time aside, and then outside of that, you stop and you enjoy other things, and don't be doing other things while you're thinking about football, I think that way I've always kept it fresh, because then when you go in the morning, it's like, okay, this light's turned on, and
treat it like a job, right? 9 to 5. And
yeah, you're right. But there's still there's like this passion there that you have to control. Mm-hmm. I think is what I'm trying to get at. And I think this time, it's like, in my mind, it was just a little bit more time to enjoy the other things. And I know that the passion will always be there for me. Maybe when it does come back, it's like one of those things where you do realize, wow, I really, really missed, all the little things that go on.
Right.
But
even just being around the guys, right. It's half the fun sometimes of the locker room atmosphere and little things like that.
The body must feel good though.
That's
right now.
Just what I was going to ask, Brad, is
it's your show.
Have you had a chance to kind of heal up a bit? You've had some major injuries, and certainly the time would have helped. And maybe has that impacted the way you expect to prepare for next season and train a little bit, with the chance to have gotten the body feeling a little bit better?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, I think, is like, it always feels like you're chasing, or you're being chased down. Like, the season ends, you give yourself a month, or to heal up, whatever you need. And then you're just like right back in it. And it's, and even the off season, you know, it's always treated like, well, we only have this short amount of time to get ready for the season. And it just feels like it goes by like in the blink of an eye. So, you know, this time it's like, I literally reset and I feel fantastic, which is something I haven't felt in a while. So, maybe actually when I made the switch, because I wasn't playing quarterback in the CFL, right, really. So, it kind of goes back to those years, but yeah, it feels great. I'm not going to lie.
Do you think it'll change your prep or your training at all leading up to, in terms of just what you need to do in term to, you know, get ready to rock again?
I don't think so. I think I've been pretty consistent, every off season. And I'm kind of like that. Like I prefer to have it the same way, every year. And that way I know what to expect. I know where I should be at. You know, and that's more actually my trainer, Sean Young, mm-hmm. Canadian Strength. It's all in his hands, and like, and he knows that too about me. And so he does a really good job, like, of just keeping me in line. And like, I'll always kind of forget, you know, oh, where were we at last year?
Right.
In week five of this phase, and he'll have it right there. Like, nope, you're right here. You're right on track, or you were a little bit off or a little bit ahead, you know? So it's yeah, I don't think much is going
to
change.
Sean Young is the man. Shout out to him again. He works with a lot of our guys, including the 67s players, and just is a madman. The reason why, you watch teenagers play hockey and we're so much better than everyone the last 2 years, those kids are in some crazy shape.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's he let you get away with in terms of a cheat day? What does that look like for Brad Sinopoli? A meal or a snack or something like that? If he gives you a day off, what do you want to be doing with it?
Glass of unknown wine.
it's really funny. I always say, oh man, I should really start. Like, should I jump into the caveman or should I just do something like a diet? You know, and he's always like, no, eat everything and anything.
Wow.
You know, it's just
my kind of trainer.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm lucky in the fact that I can eat anything and it just disappears, kind of. I mean, also maybe we work really hard, so that probably also helps. But I'm long and skinny, so like, you know, my challenge is actually keeping the weight on and keeping it up for the season.
Between this answer and the fact that your baby sleeps through the night, you're going to be the least popular Red Black on the team.
But you know what? I'm trying to be honest. I could lie. I'm like, oh, I eat greens and sure. chicken every day. And on a Sunday, I maybe have some ice cream. But the reality is I do eat whatever, whenever. But I am pretty healthy. But yeah, I can stray off the rails a little bit here and there.
I wanted to ask you too, Brad, not to step on Matt's toes again, but I was just wondering, in terms of your previous experience playing quarterback, how that has correlated and made you a better receiver in the CFL.
Good question. I've never had that question before.
You don't actually have to answer it. That's like been ongoing for the entire time I've known Brad. And typically when we go on the road and we have to bring guys to do TSN media hits on the day before the game, they select, you know, three guys, and often it's someone who's fairly well known, mm-hmm. Like your starting quarterback or your Brad Sinopoli. And well, let's just say that question has been asked Brad many, many times. How long has it been since you played quarterback, Brad?
It's been 7 years, I think. No, yeah, 8 years now. It's been 8 years.
Now we go into it, be in whatever city, and be like, what do you think? And it always depends. Like, you know, these guys are, you know, these media guys for TSN are great. And obviously they have to do this repetitively a lot too. So, but it's hilarious. It's hilarious when that could, like, because like clockwork in certain places, like, yeah, I can always tell on Brad's face when he walks out of the TSN room. Like, yep, they asked.
It's hilarious because I obviously sit down and I write down a bunch of questions I want to ask. And then I go back and I'm like, is this something they've been asked a lot, or is this whatever? And I know the cheat day one is one of those cliche ones too, or whatever. But that was specifically one where I looked at and went, get rid of that. You're not asking him that question. Because I knew.
Well, you could if you like. I've been trying to give a different answer for 8 years and I'm running out of things to say.
That's
now.
Part of the challenge. That's part of the game. Sure. Too. Like, how can I? Yeah.
Right.
But you were, obviously, for those who don't know, quarterback here in Ottawa. with the GGs. That's where you played your university ball. And I wondered, you know, speaking of cliche questions, as you came back here in 2015 as a receiver, if that had some sort of pull knowing the city, or if it was being, you know, close to home in Peterborough, or, you know, they were coming off an expansion year where the team hadn't been great. What was it that made you go, yeah, I'll check out Ottawa, I'll see what's happening there?
Hadn't been great was a very nice way to put that.
Well,
yeah. Well, you know, it's, I mean, but that played a large part. Like, you know, I remember in 2014 when we came to Ottawa to play, and we obviously only had one game here, but I had broken my collarbone, I think maybe a couple weeks before that game. Mm. But they let me come on the flight. And just because they knew I had family here and they knew I was from here, and that's not something that is normally done, but you know, they're at the Stamps, they're a great organization. They think of a lot of things, and anyway, so they brought me, and
right.
I just had this, that was the first time that I was back at the stadium since it was redone.
Yeah.
And I just had this just weird nostalgic like feeling in my stomach. Especially where the visitors, where you're at on the sideline for the visitors, that's where you used to run out, you know, because the old Lansdowne, there was the locker room was in the back left corner.
Right.
And I just had this feeling like, man, I just had so many memorable kind of life altering moments there. And like a lot of ups and downs that just kind of, I think, put me on the path that I was on. And it just kind of all like came back, and I was injured too. And, you know, you got weird thoughts going through your head when you're injured and all these things. And it just really hit me. And there's another weird thing. So, Hoffley, you're going to have to help me out too. What is the building? Is it the, where they used to have all the, well, where the farmer's market is?
Yeah.
It's got the gold roof. Yes.
The pavilion Aberdeen there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's got the gold like roof kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. So have you ever seen The Departed? Where
<For sure. laughs>
he looks at the, I think it's an old church or whatever it is. Like, again, you're gonna have to help me out. But the top is like this golden thing, and like he always looks at it, and it.
Oh yeah.
It, there's some symbolic thing with it, right?
I
don't know exactly.
It, so.
Oh yeah,
and that just like clicked with you in that moment. Well,
I remember at university, I like. You could always just see it peeking behind the stands. And that's obviously when I saw The Departed, and I'm like, there's no correlation because I had no ties to the pavilion. Like I just remembered that I'm like, oh, golden roof and The Departed, love the movie. So it just kind of like stuck with me, you know, that this is part of it. And when I came back, not that I was thinking about it, but I looked over and I saw it and I had this just weird, like, yes, okay, this is my home. You kind of feel it,
that's,
you know?
Cool. I'm glad there's a story there, man.
Like, yeah, and it probably makes no sense, and if, I don't know if it does to some people, but weird things like that, you just can't explain why, you know, why it just, you get that feeling. Like, it just feels like I belong here. And so anyways, that's my weird story.
And then it didn't hurt that, you know, we won the Grey Cup in 2016 and then everybody really loved you.
Well,
it's really hard to leave when everybody really loves you.
Well, I don't think that people love
every
you
time
at all.
Every time your contract's been up and you, like, people would burn the place down, I think.
No, that's, you know what? The one thing about football is that it feels like that, and it's nice that people love players, but as fans know, it's such a high turnover. They're going to love the Red Blacks when I'm long gone for many, many years. So the place would not burn down.
I know you're being humble, but there is a certain amount of truth to what Hoffley's saying there. And I know he's kind of moved on for a couple years too, but for several years there, it was you and Hank that, you know, were kind of the most recognizable names and the guys getting it done and the ones that seem to be drawing the biggest cheers. So, I mean, I think there's something to that in terms of guys that the town identifies with a little bit.
Brad almost screwed it all up, though, when he dropped that onside kick in the Grey Cup.
Almost, but I didn't. So, good thing is football is like that. We're all trying to chase around an oval-shaped ball filled with air.
It's so silly.
and weird things are going to happen. So you take the good with the bad, and thankfully
that worked out pretty well.
We ended up winning that game, but that's just how it goes.
When you were getting your start back in high school in Peterborough, you were also playing AAA hockey, so pretty good there too. At that time, did you have one that, you know, forget whether or not you thought one was a more likely career path than the other. Did you have one that was more of a love than the other? Were you always kind of happy to split time, be a dual sport kind of guy? Or,
well, actually, when I was growing up, it was hockey and lacrosse.
Okay.
Were the two, and oh, especially Peterborough.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, like lacrosse capital of pretty much anywhere. So it was pretty much that. And the only football exposure I had was just that, because my dad was a coach, really. And you know, we always watch football and all these, but like I was full blown hockey, and lacrosse was just the way to get through the summer to get back to hockey. So when I kind of made the decision, it was a weird time. Like I was going into high school and it just was kind of two different sports. Like, you know, hockey at that time, I don't know. It just was, there was a different level of discipline, I think, that I saw in football that I think I just, for whatever reason, gravitated towards. It was just so different than hockey, right? Like hockey is a little bit more loose and, you know, the olden style of kind of like the players police a little bit on the ice. And, you know, and then football, you turn around and you watch football practice. And like at my high school, someone would do something, take a penalty or even swear. And like they're doing laps around the football field. It just was completely different, you know, and I saw so many students that didn't really have a lot of direction, and they went into football, and like all of a sudden it's like that's exactly what they needed. They became part of something that is hard to explain unless you really play the sport, right? It's like you could be not involved with the play whatsoever, and you could be a receiver on the very far wide side, and you go offside, and you screw up the play for everyone else.
Right.
And you had no bearing on how the play was going to turn out, because we could have been running the ball to the left or whatever, right? And there was just like things like that that I started to realize. I don't know. I gravitated towards that. That wasn't really the case in hockey. And I don't know how to explain it. I mean, even to this day, though, I still love hockey. I wish that I was a kid that could go out, you know, and just shoot pucks in my driveway like I did.
Who's your favorite OHL team, Brad?
You know? Well, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
So like Brad, like for a media guy like me, Brad's great because he will do, you know, you can drop him into any kind of media situation. He's good. But he's not my favorite person to go to for promoting the 67s because I just never feel it. Like, it's just like, I know, like, even when he does it, like, and if they're playing the Peets, I'm like, no chance. But it's like, I don't feel the passion there when it comes to it as much. So like, I tend to, you know, find some, you know, other people for 67 stuff, because I know Brad is just thinking about the friggin' Peets.
Well, and I grew up in Oshawa, so I got beef with the Peets and 67. So
yeah, okay, so none of us are friends now.
No, you know what? In Oshawa, God, for Peterborough.
Yeah,
my God, that was a rival
for
in
sure.
Hockey and lacrosse.
Yep,
man, yeah, 67. So I've adopted them now that I've been in the city for so long,
sure.
But it's hard to deny the feelings that you have when you grow up watching a team.
Growing up in Peterborough, you referenced a few minutes ago, or maybe a little more than that, that you spent some time during this this COVID summer doing some fishing. Kawartha's certainly well known for the lakes and cottage country and stuff. I also, you know, cottaged and boated along the Trent-Severn all the time as a child. Is that where your love of fishing comes from? Is this being growing up in that area, or where does that stem from?
Yeah, for sure. That's oh man, you said it. It's the best area for like anything you want to do on the water, whether it's canoeing, boating. Like you can go to the main lakes that are just pure cottage country. You can go into the back country and not see a single person. Mm-hmm. It's just, oh man, I love it. But yeah, I mean, it's, my dad was the one that got me into fishing, and like you said, you can go anywhere in Peterborough and catch fish. And I wasn't a musky, like I always wanted to musky fish when I was younger. We never really got into it. And then, you know, because it tends to not be shore friendly,
right,
if
okay.
you will.
Yeah.
So once we got the boat and I became a little more serious with it, but and Ottawa is obviously one of the best places anywhere really to go to musky fish. So
really?
I'm kind of lucky going from Peterborough to here. So
I'm looking at that picture right now, Brad, online of you and Jamie with that monster musky.
Oh, that's the old one. That's the one that started the obsession.
The first, yeah. Like, it's just Google Brad Sinopoli fishing. It's the first one that comes up. There's a couple there. There's also, it's one picture of you fishing, one picture of you in that ridiculous Red Blacks Tilly hat, and another picture of you fishing.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, man, yeah, the Tilly hat.
And then for some reason, a picture of Gilly with his shirt off holding a fish.
Oh, that might be when he fished with me, is it? A little catfish?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I took him out one day, and he caught that little catfish, almost squeezed the guts out of it.
Oh, yeah, it's a little bit. Oh, he's got like a death grip on that thing, yeah.
Yeah.
You've been trying to get some of the boys into it.
Yeah, that's right.
Gilly's a strong guy, especially after this. Like, Gilly has only been working out during the pandemic.
Yikes.
I know, it's scary.
Yeah, that's very intimidating.
What were some of the lakes you used to frequent down there for that?
Well, a lot of my fishing, honestly, was done just really like right in town on Little Lake.
Oh yeah. Okay.
But there was some, you know, my dad used to take me to little streams and rivers, not really well known. And some of them, I don't even know what they were called. Like
right.
there's two lakes that I have saved on my phone because there's no name for them. And they're just like backcountry lakes. And you get in there through, you know, you start on like a four-wheeler trail.
Wow.
If you can get your car in there, and then like you kind of got to walk, you got to know where it is kind of, but you just walk to the lake. And
those
like,
are cool though. Like the kind of hidden, you know, getaways, like
exactly. And obviously there are some of them, I think were stocked at some point with mm-hmm. some bass, stuff like that. But, yeah, I don't know. I always kind of gravitated towards the off the beaten trail kind of areas.
So mysterious, Brad.
I know. I like to be with myself and my thoughts.
Well, this is
and
like
nature.
the great Canadian athlete here. We growing up in doing fishing and hockey and lacrosse, and then into the Canadian Football League, man. And you kind of checked all the boxes.
Well, I learned from a lot of other great athletes when I was young. Every hockey player that I was around seemed to be a diehard fisherman, and it just was like, I don't know, you just naturally just learn how to do it and
sure.
do it. And you know, once you're out there, it's how can you not fall in love with it? It's crazy. And the things you see, like in nature, you know, the more you go out, the more you're going to see, and it's just magnificent.
I've had, like I said, grew up boating, like, and now cottaging, and said to my dad the other, it was sometime over the summer, and we were doing some quarantining by the lake, and just sitting on the front porch of the cottage. And it was gorgeous. Sun was setting over the trees on the other side of the lake, and there's some loons out. And like, it's just one of those perfect picturesque Canadian cottage. And for some reason, I looked at him and said, this is all awesome and everything, but like a wild wing behind this place would clean up right now. We've had a couple of beers. This is perfect, but we are a long way from everything else. And
yeah,
if we're going to eat, we're going to probably have to catch it.
That's true. It's so interesting, though, you say that, because like, there's something to the cottage that is, you know, just outside of a cottage town.
Yes.
And that feeling of like, you know, you just, everyone flocks there in the summer and there's some buzz and you just, but then there's the true like backcountry.
Yep.
You know, like you're in the middle of nowhere and it's just, you
I like
can't
to have
order
a good,
anything.
Like, a good country general store, I feel like, is like, you know, like the, I need a little of that around.
Some firewood and an emergency six pack.
It's, you know, exactly. I don't need a lot, but let's be real.
You got to have a good country store.
I only got one more for you, Brad, but I feel like I need to allow Chris in to make sure he's cleared out his cache of questions before I sign us off.
I'm going to write the biography on Brad one day.
I'm getting that. Obviously this will be first Christmas with the little guy. Obviously still maybe too young to totally grasp what's going on, but it's also kind of a crazy time of year. What does Christmas look like this year around the Sinopoli house?
it's going to be different for sure. I think, the challenging part obviously is trying to balance staying safe and, you know, trying to deal with everyone wanting to still see the baby and see everyone. And so, we have a couple things planned, I think mostly in the backyard. I think it's kind of difficult too, because, you know, we have other members of the family that also have kids, and people are still working, and, you know, it's just, I think it's hard to coordinate everything and trying to quarantine and be here and there. So I think we're just going to be doing a lot of backyard stuff, and, you know, we're going to have a little fire at my in-laws, and they got a nice little fire pit in the backyard, and my parents are going to come up, and, but I think on Christmas Day, it'll just be us three in the morning, which, is new for us, but something we've been looking forward to. So I think it's going to be cool, and we'll mix a little bit of everything else in there as well.
Well, this is a thrill for me. I meant what I said earlier about there just being certain guys, you know, that the city seems to relate to, and it was cool to see you sign here and to get to watch you play for Ottawa all these years. I mentioned I grew up in Oshawa. I was an Argos fan. I was never able to swear off of the Leafs in favor of the Senators, but when the Red Blacks started up, I wanted to, like, this is going to be cool. They're going to build from the ground up. I wanted to be a part of that. And so it was cool to see, you know, you land back here and have the impact that you've had. And I was pumped when Chris said you were willing to do this. So thank you so much for making a little time, man.
Oh, well, anytime, Matt, I appreciate it. And yeah, it's cool. I also, by the way, was a huge Argo fan growing up.
Okay, nice.
And Leaf fan.
Nice.
So that's hard.
Have you stayed a Leaf fan? Tell me you've stayed a Leaf fan.
Well, it never really leaves you.
No,
you guys both suck. I'm sorry. I helped arrange this at all.
You know, you can pretend.
Yes.
But like, you're always looking out of the corner of your eye when the Leafs game on. You
For
know,
sure.
Like, so yeah.
And sometimes it has to just be the corner of your eye because there's tears coming out of the rest.
There's been tears for many. Well, as long as I've been alive.
Yeah, for sure, man. Me too. Maybe we can do this again once the season gets started up and we know we're going to get some football, and we can talk to you a little bit more then, man.
That sounds great. Anytime.
Brad, you're a gem. Thanks for doing this. I miss talking to you and seeing you on a regular basis around the place.
I'm with you.
We're going to get back to normal sometime, so that'll be sweet. And this is like the most questions Brad ever allows to be asked within an interview, so I also appreciate you going over your quota.
That's not true. We could turn this into a Joe Rogan podcast for 3 hours if you really wanted to. I really enjoyed talking.
We didn't even get into like music and stuff. We'll save that for the next one.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Hopefully by the time, you know, we can do this again, maybe things will be a little different. We have a nice studio here. We like to do the Rogan thing in person. So we'll get you in studio next time when things clear up a little bit.
Oh, it sounds great.
Hoff, thanks for setting this up, my man.
Always a pleasure, man. Good talking to you.
And that's TCA 764 for Brad Sinopoli and Chris Hoffley. My name's Matt Robinson. Make sure you're following along on Twitter and Instagram at TallCanAudio, Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. We'll see you next time.
It is over!
Now that's a tasty beverage.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching TallCanAudio on your favorite podcast app.